We'll be singing at the cross.
What's that?
At the cross, 129.
Right.
Yeah. Let's see if I can turn this. Good morning and welcome to Dispensational Bible Church. And as we start the morning service, if you have your red books, be turning to page 129. And we're going to sing At the Cross. At the Cross. We're going to sing verses 1 and 4. You'll have to out-sing me, guys. At last and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die. Would he devote a sacred head for such a worm as I? At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burning of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. But drops of grief could ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burning of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
It was there by faith I
received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Good morning once again, and welcome to Dispensational Bible Church, where we study the whole Bible, the Bible's own way. Good to see Tom and Barb here with us this morning, and my wife Sherry, and those who are watching on Facebook Live. We miss you guys, and hope that all is doing well. If you think about our prayer requests and praise items, I do have a little nephew. Jackson was born several weeks ago that's having some heart issues, and they've had to keep him in the hospital for some time now. Trying to do some medication on him and all, so just keep him in thought and prayer. Keep Walt and Barb in thought and prayer. Keep Julie and many other people. Keep Maggie in thought and prayer, because her son Billy is still dealing with some cancer issues that last we heard is not doing too well on some things. So that's and Betty Watson, always keep her in thought and prayer also. Keep our leadership in mind throughout the country. When you turn the media on, it doesn't look good. But one thing does look good is the Word of God, and know you who are in Christ Jesus. And that's what the world really needs, and understand some things in that regards, because there's an answer, and it's found in God's Word. And when you rightly divide the Word of truth, you can tell and understand the times that we're in. I had a good opportunity to talk to a good friend of mine. He was actually my best friend at our wedding, and it was been a while since I talked to him, and we're talking about the times and all, and it seems like everybody's pointing towards this time and God's program. And I always encourage people, say, listen, if you want to understand what God is doing today, you have to understand the Word of God written through his apostle, special apostle Paul. He writes 13 epistles for the body of Christ in the dispensation of grace. And once you understand where you're at here and understand, you should know what it's not. okay? Because the mystery program in which we live in does not is not the prophecy program. So there is two programs God is dealing with: prophecy since the world began, mystery kept secret since the world began. So that's what we teach, and that's what we preach. But we believe that once you trust Christ Jesus, died for your sins, buried, rose again, you trust that and that alone. That's what saves you. You're saved, sealed, and sanctified according to the Word of God. Now, religion would tell you a different, won't they? They say, you say you can lose this and you can gain this. Well, I don't think you can lose anything that was never yours to begin with. So when God gave it to you, it's a free gift. He gave it and He seals you and saves you until the day of redemption. But as long as you're here on this earth, you need to understand what God is doing. That's where you get wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And many of you know that. Many of you are growing. And I really appreciate the opportunity to teach you and learn myself. Because, you know, believe it or not, I'm learning from you guys. And I hope you're learning through the Word of God, and the Word of God through me, through the Word of God. And that will help us build some things. A lot of people says, you know, one thing about the church, I always mention something about, you know, you will come to church, won't you? You know, that type of thing. And I just asked that, and people said, well, we are the church. You know, yeah, church is part of His body. But you still have to have a local entity. You know, you still need to be come together corporately. And whether we meet here, there, or in the air, we're going to be together with the Lord forever. Amen? And as long as we're on this earth, we just need to know that we have a responsibility. And you don't put all the responsibility on the preacher's shoulders. We're members in particular together, and it's our duty, if you will, once you're an ambassador of Christ, to go out and share the good news. So you know as well as I know, there's a lost and dying world out there. They're either saved or unsaved, okay? And hopefully they will come to hear the knowledge of the truth and get saved, and then they get in the Word of God rightly divided. So once again, we'd like to encourage you to join us, whether you're here locally or through the internet, and also keep that in thought and prayer. Let's see. Next Sunday, we'll be doing 10 o'clock meetings next week, guys. So September 1st will be 10 o'clock. So next week, I will be in a remote location. I'm going down home, Virginia, if you want to really know. I haven't been down in a while and just really just kick back and enjoy myself. I plan on doing a lot of fishing. I want to do a lot of trout fishing. It's something I miss, and my wife knows dearly. When we first met, that's where when I came off the road on weekends and stuff, I went straight to the trout streams in the mornings just to unwind. And so we may do a continued Daniel there, or I may do another little message there. And then the following week, after that, September 11th, we'll be at Ridge Farm Bible Conference in Ridge Farm, Illinois. That's one of the oldest Grace School of Bibles conference there is. It started like 80 in the 80s, and we'll be there visiting with them. So keep that in thought and prayer. And then the next week after that, we'll be at my grandson Jude's fourth birthday. So the first 3 week ends in September, we won't be here. Now, that, you know, meeting. Third? I thought it was fourth. But anyway, we're going to get in trouble if Megan's listening. But anyway, I think it's fourth. But anyway, maybe it is third. Anyway, he's just growing like a weed. He really is. But anyway, if you know you got grandchildren, you know they grow up really, really fast. But let's keep everybody in thought and prayer in that. Keep our internet ministries, our giving locally and through the internet. Appreciate the people that's been donating online. I know sometimes it might be rough, but when you do, it goes for a good cause. Keep that in thought and prayer. I hope the audio is okay. I hope everything's doing okay. And let's go to word prayer. Father, once again, we thank you for the time. We thank you for the things you've given us. And we ask as we think about the prayer requests and praise items, we think about the things that's going on in this nation, we think about the things going on locally. Lord, many of us are just searching for answers and searching for solutions. But we do know that the solution that you have for any problem, which really results from sin, is that you died for us, and was you buried and rose again. And we need to understand that and understand who we are in Christ Jesus. And that makes a difference in the decisions we make. And Lord, let us not make decisions based on emotions. Every wind, a doctrine, everything we see on TV, everything is affecting our mind, that we need to seem like we just need to have a knee-jerk reaction and jump on board with whatever we see. So I'm encouraging us as Bible believers to just sit back, relax, and understand the times that we're in. And that brings us to where we're at in Daniel, to understand the times that the Gentiles that are still in effect today. And Lord, we know that as your son right now is sitting on the right hand of fellowship, sitting on the right hand with you, that he's in royal exile. And we know that when the light is gone, there's a dark world out there, the light. But we also know that we are light. And once we are light and we understand this dark world, we can be a beacon for the truth that will set people free. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Be turning to Daniel chapter 11. Daniel chapter 11. We're in lesson 70 in the book of Daniel. And we're moving right along. Sometimes you get those little pop-ups in Facebook and stuff, and you'll see some things like, whoa, we was in lesson 27, or, you know, that type of thing a year ago. So we have progressed, you know, slowly but surely. And I always tell you that we got between now and the catching away to take us out of here. And so, you know, we might as well just enjoy it. Enjoy the Word of God. I'm going to close this up. I think I fixed this to where I can close it up. Because in the book of Daniel, I told you to turn to Daniel chapter 11. In the book of Daniel, Daniel is way back here in times past. And so what he's doing, he's looking for a time. He's coming out of captivity, and he's talking about this wrath area right here, this 70th week of Daniel, if you will. And we left off talking about Edom and Moab, which are really not good countries to the nation Israel. They're still not good countries to the nation Israel today, escaped due to them hiding the remnant. Daniel chapter 11, starting with verse 40. At that time of the end shall the king of the south push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind with chariots and with horsemen and with many ships. And he shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over. He shall enter also into the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown, but they shall escape out of his hand, and even Edom and Moab, and the chief of the children of Ammon. That's what we're talking about. Edom and Moab will escape the wrath of that Antichrist coming down there causing war. He shall stretch forth his hand also upon the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. But he shall have power over the treasures of gold and of silver and over the precious things of Egypt. And the Libyans and the Ethiopians shall be at his steps. But tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him. Therefore he shall go forth with great fury to destroy and utter to make away many. And he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas and his glorious holy mountain. Yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. Verse 44 is where we left off last time. But tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him. Therefore he shall go forth with great fury to destroy and utterly to make away many. And he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountain. Yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. Now his end is described. Paul talks about it, right? Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now Apostle Paul is not in the prophecy program, but he does understand some things that's going to take place over here in the 70th week of Daniel, in times of Jacob's troubles. Why would Paul write to the Thessalonians about these things? You know what was troubling Thessalonians?
They thought the rapture
They thought there were, somebody's told them, hey, your rapture already happened, you're in a tribulation period. You're going through the tribulation period. And that and have you heard that right going on today? You know, rapture's done taking place, guys. There is no rapture, that type of thing. You're going through the tribulation. Listen, I put a thing out on the post talking about, can you give me any verse where God tells the body of Christ that you're saved from the wrath of man?
No.
You know, people texting me or not, you know, giving verses, but you're not saved from the wrath of man. Look what's going around you today. The wrath of God is what you really got to worry about. Wrath of man's going to pour out on you. We pour out wrath on each other all the time. We really do, if you think about it. It may not be godly wrath, but it could be mentally wrath. It could be just voicing opinions on people, you know, that type of thing. So when you see this wrath is coming, I've got a verse that says I'm saved from the wrath to come. What wrath would be talking about since Daniel over to here? The wrath of God, not the wrath of man. Would you not think that Daniel was under the wrath of man for 70 years? So you're not going, the only thing that's going to save you from wrath of man is avoid some things. You know, you don't walk in a bad alley. You don't walk in a bad situation that puts you in a bad situation. But 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, now Paul's not in here. Paul is writing to the body of Christ in here. Okay? But when, like I said on the forefront, when he wrote the book of Thessalonians, it's referring to the catching away, but he's talking about this time period over here. He says, verse 3, chapter 2, verse 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there should be a falling away first and a man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, who have we been talking about? The man of sin, yes, and the son of perdition. We talked about, and we're going to look at that in a little bit, the first part of that 70th week is referring to the man of sin. Okay, the second half is the son of perdition. He says, who opposed and exalted himself above all that is called God and that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, where is that taking place at? It's not the White House, people. It's in Jerusalem in a temple that's going to be built by the Antichrist. He's going to give, we done looked at that in Daniel a couple lessons ago, that the Antichrist is going to give Israel everything they wanted. Those three things, okay, that we already looked at. Remember ye not that I, when I was with you, told you of these things? And now ye knoweth what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. Okay? You understand that? Okay? Many of us teach it's the body of Christ is withholding that wrath take away. Until the body of Christ is taken out of here. And I had a hard time with that because he that letteth, the Antichrist will let and let. Okay? And he also can sit and he's going to be God. He's literally going to be God to what the earth is going to think that God is. Now, verse 8, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Is this a good thing or a bad thing? What are we talking about in a verse in Daniel? The end. Okay? When Jesus Christ comes back, the Antichrist is the end in this situation. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivable of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved, and for this God shall send strong delusions, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in righteousness. There's going to be a time over here, Paul is saying, that the people's going to believe a lie. And they're not going to believe the truth, and what's God going to do? send a delusion to them, and they're not going to believe the truth. They're going to believe a lie. Who's the father of lies? Revelation chapter 19. Go to Revelation chapter 19. I'm going to keep closing, open and closing this. Revelation chapter 19. We're talking about the end here in the verse in Daniel. Revelation chapter 19. That ye might, verse 18, Revelation 19, 18. That ye might eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast, and the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse, and against his armies. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that worked miracles before him, which with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worship his image. They both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with what? Is that going to be the end for them? On this earth it is, ain't it? And they're going to be cast alive down here. So as being destroyed by the brightness of his coming, Paul's talking about, and consumed with the spirit of his mouth, and then cast in a lake of fire. And you know what? No one's going to stop that. So that's not a wrath of man. That's the wrath of God. And you're not going to stop the wrath of God. Okay? Now, but in the meantime, what the Antichrist does, he will plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas of in the glorious mountains. You know what he does? He's going to take over Palestine, the land over there, and Israel, and it's going to make a mess out there. When he goes down there, it's not going to be good. Has it ever been good since the Lord Israel fallen in captivity? No. You can have peace plans after peace plans over there. And any minute it could flare up. But this right here, when the Antichrist, what we're talking about, is coming out of that, the Syrians coming out of that north, he's going to make a very bad mess out of this place. And the battle is rather difficult to fix. Now, a lot of times people use verse 44 in Daniel, and they try to prove. Now, when you talk about the bear and the lion and the leopard and all that stuff, don't people try to put countries with that? Who they say the bear is?
Russia.
Okay? And they try to prove that the invasion of Russia into Palestine with this verse. You probably understand, you probably know, been there, done that, and bought books about it. But verse 44 is very clear that Russia's not involved. How you figure? How do you figure if Russia's not involved? Because it says, tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him. The Antichrist. What is north of Russia? Santa Claus?
That's it.
The North Pole. There's nothing above, well, as we know it, there's nothing above Russia. Okay? So this guy has something north of him, the Bible says. So it can't be north of Russia coming down. I know, aliens, yeah. I was an alien once. But anyway, that's another story, another time. But he is south of Russia, because the Bible says somebody's above him, north. It's Assyria that we're talking about here, and nothing's going to be able to help him. Okay, so Syria's here, Assyria, Israel, and Egypt. That whole area right there is affected, Palestine, and those people that escape in verse 41. Is the remnant out there in the wilderness in Revelation chapter 12. Now, as we're looking at some things, I may be going a little fast, and I don't want to mix a lot of things up, but who is the remnant at this time Daniel's talking about?
A little flock.
A little flock, you know, or the true Israel, if you will. And have you ever, let me ask you this, have you ever stop to think that God has been dealt with remnants in the past and in the future? He's always dealt with little remnants, you know. And let's look at a couple of them. Go to Isaiah chapter 10. Isaiah chapter 10. Isaiah chapter 10 verse 20 says, "And it shall come to pass in that day that the remnant of Israel..." Now, would that be all of Israel?
No.
If you're a remnant, what are you?
A small part.
The small part. Do you have remnant in fabric?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And sometimes you may go to a fabric shop, just look for that piece of remnant. Mm-hmm. You don't need the whole roll, right?
Right.
You know? I know that my dad sold conveyor belts, and he also had a record sling. If you remember what a record sling was, it was two pieces of belting on the back of a record that when they hooked up to your bumper, that rubber would hit the bumper and not scar it. There was a record sling. He had a business. He sold it to the new record people. Well, sometimes you got a whole roll that he made the whole slide, but sometimes he didn't need 700 record slings. He just needed 50 of them. Well, you didn't buy the whole row. You bought a remnant. You with me? And then that remnant can make enough out of that to supply your order. Well, God's always worked with remnants of people to do His business. And He says, where am I at? And it shall come to pass that the remnant of Israel and such as are escaped of the house of Jacob shall no more again stand upon him that smote him, but shall stay upon the Lord and the Holy One of Israel in truth. The remnant shall return, even the remnant of Jacob, unto the mighty God. For though thy people Israel, whose people? Thy people Israel be the sands of the seas. Isn't that what Abraham said? Look at that type of thing. Yet a remnant of them shall return. The consummation decree shall overflow with the righteousness. Go to Isaiah chapter 11, verse 11. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set His hand again the second time to recover the remnant of His people, which shall be left from the Syria and from Egypt and from Pathros and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. They're everywhere, aren't they? These little bitty remnants everywhere. And He shall set up an ensign for the nation, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Now there are remnants everywhere. The envy of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off, and Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim, but they shall fly upon the shoulders of the Philistines towards the west. They shall spoil them of the east together. They shall lay their hand upon Edom and Moab, and the children of Ammon shall obey them. And the Lord shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea, and with His mighty wind shall He shake His hand over the river, and shall smite it in the seven streams, and make men go over dry sod. What are they going to do? What does that mean? Walk on dry land, and there shall be a highway of the remnant of His people, which shall be left from Assyria, like it was in Israel in the day that they camped out of the land of Egypt. What's He doing here? Just what Daniel's talking about. There's going to be a remnant of people that's going to survive that Antichrist in that area, and they're going to walk right into that promised land. They're going to walk right out of Egypt, just like we're going to talk about that here in a few minutes, what's going on over in Moses' days. Now, what do you know about Luke chapter 12, verse 32 that we always point at over here? Who's this right here? When Jesus Christ came to his own what?
Received Him not.
Okay, but who received Him? The little flock, the little remnant. Luke chapter 12, verse 32 says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give to you the kingdom." When Jesus Christ took that kingdom away from them Pharisees and Sadducees and heresies and all that stuff, they didn't like that. See, he gave it to who? A little flock. He gave it to a little remnant over here, the 12 apostles. He said, you're going to be sitting on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes, and their 12 tribes are going to judge the nations. That's over here. But he gave it, the kingdom, to that little remnant. Now, could you, if you was in times past, back over here, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, could you not have joined that little flock?
It's called the little foolish nation.
Well, that's what Moses said. It's going to take a foolish nation to provoke you, Israel. Okay? But look, Paul mentions, go to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. Even Apostle Paul talks about a little remnant of the nation Israel. Now, Paul is our apostle to the body of Christ. He's not apostle to the nation Israel. The nation Israel has apostles. Okay? But he says in chapter 11, verse 25, for I would not... Now, let me back up for 1 minute, or 1 second. To understand Paul's epistles in Romans, you have to understand the first 5 chapters is the book is for justification. Okay? When you understand about justification, it's forever settled. Once you're justified in front of God, you're justified. And that's why the first 5 books is very, very important to a believer when they get saved. You take them to the book of Romans and have them understand the book of Romans. 5 books is justified. And you know something Paul never does throughout his epistles after that brings up? Never mentions it again. He assumes you already understand that you're justified and you don't need to bring that up no more. But what do we have to do when we try to encourage people to this? Bob, you always got to bring back justification because they don't think they're justified. They're never good enough. Okay? This flesh is never going to be good enough. Then Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8 is about sanctification, about glorification, okay? You're setting yourself apart from the things of this world. It's a battle. Then Romans 9, 10, 11, and 11's where we're at, in Romans, it's dealing with dispensational issues. He's talking to the saved Israel, the little flock over here, to tell them, hey, God has not forgot about you. God has a plan for you over here. Because I can't keep not thinking about Paul's teaching a bunch of Gentiles and a bunch of lost Jews in synagogues that never was a part of that little flock. He goes into synagogues that teach Jesus Christ was the Messiah. And there's Gentiles and stuff like that. And he goes to the Gentiles to tell them about Jesus Christ, what he's doing for the Gentiles, that you're saved by grace through faith. And he's sitting there, and that little, I don't mean to say it ugly, but when I say little, but the little kingdom Jew is in back here. He's going, but what about me? What about me? God promised me all this stuff over here. You know, I walked with him and all this. And Paul's like, just hang on a minute. I'll get to you. And he comes to Romans 9, 10, 11, and he's like, wow, who was Israel? They had oracles. They had the promises, and they had it all. But we also understand that Paul, I mean, God, through what he did in the book of Acts, right here, the nation Israel in the book of Acts falls. Okay? The little flock is still saved. They're still out here. But the nation Israel falls. They're down here with us Gentiles. So he says in Romans chapter 11, verse 25, for I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. What mystery? What God gave Paul for the mystery of the body of Christ that was not made known. Lest ye should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles end. Listen, what's Israel's issue today? They're blind. Do you want to follow a blind Jew today? No. The blind leads the blind and they what? Fall in a ditch. You know? But he says, until the fullness of Gentiles come in. Until body of the Christ, the fullness of Gentiles comes together, Israel's going to be blind. Okay? Verse 26. And so all Israel shall be saved, as is written. Thou shalt come out of Zion, the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto who? The body of Christ?
No.
No. To them. That's that nation Israel that he promised. Romans 15:8 says Jesus Christ was made a minister unto the circumcision. Okay? He's the minister of circumcision for the circumcision. And he says, for this is my covenant to them when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, now what gospel is that Paul's talking about? The gospel of the grace of God. They're enemies for your sake. But for touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. There's going to be a time that they're elected over here. The elected. Listen, when Paul talks about election and everybody else talks about it, all that means is service. When you elect an official, okay, what are you electing them for?
Service.
To serve you. It ain't got nothing to do with you're better than me and he elect me to be in the body of Christ and you're in the body of whatever. No. It's about service. And let me ask you this. Who is all of Israel that are saved here that Paul's talking about? It's got to be the remnant out there. See, all of Israel is, when they leave, getting back to Daniel a little bit, when they leave, and we're going to look at this, when they leave out here and go in the wilderness, that's all of Israel that's saved. You're not going to take a lost Jew in the kingdom. That's why Lord Jesus Christ said, I come for nobody but what? Lost sheep of the house of Israel. He already knew there were some people saved. He didn't have to worry about them. Today, should we worry about saved saints in a way that there's salvation? No. Our message is similar. We need to go to the lost Gentile out there. And everybody's a Gentile today, guys. Okay? Gentiles means nations. But look, so all throughout, it's been a remnant. And I personally think there's only a small remnant of the body of Bible believers today. True Bible believers. You know, people look at us sometimes like, wow, you know a lot of Bible. You know, or they look, man, you just know too much. No. Hey, y'all know my profession. I'm a truck driver. Okay? And if this truck driver, special commodities relocation engineer, can learn what God is doing today and apply it to where it's needed, you can too. You know, you don't have to profess yourself to be wise. Paul says they become what? Fools. Don't walk around a wise man. Walk around with a teachable spirit, and if you got a teachable spirit today, you will understand what God is doing today. And a true Bible believer, a small remnant today that understands the Word of God, rightly divide it, and is faithful to the ministry. You know, there's a lot of people that says they're in the body of Christ, but ask them about their salvation. That's what gets you in the body of Christ, is salvation. Here in Daniel chapter 12, go back to Daniel chapter 11 and Daniel chapter 12. In Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, whoa, guess what we just did? We just jumped into another chapter. Oh, man, I don't know what we're going to do. I'm going to teach Daniel for the next 15 years. 6 months ago. Hey, it's good to have fun, isn't it? It's good to rejoice, and we are, and all. So, you know, you don't have to be all, you know, like robot and stuff. Just be yourself, people. That's all God asked us to do, is be ourselves. And love who we are in Christ Jesus. Now, I don't have to like what you are in Christ Jesus, but I do love you in Christ Jesus, okay? Now, that brings on another thing. But anyway, here in Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, he is going to deliver them. And it says, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there were a nation, even to the same time, and at the time, that's the second half of the week, okay? Michael stands up, and there's time of trouble is going on. Thou people shall be delivered, even one that shall be found written in a book of life. Once again, in the book, excuse me, book. Once again, who is thy people here?
Israel.
The remnant, Israel, okay. What Israel? The little flock over here. See, Israel's got a sin debt that they had to pay for. All that rebellion is coming to the end over here. You know, when they said crucify him, we have no king but Caesar. They killed John the Baptist. They killed the Lord Jesus Christ. And they killed Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit. You know, God's wrath should pour out right there. Y'all do know that. Okay? That's why the Bible and the timeline, God chose Paul in the right time. Paul is a due time testator that stopped the wrath of God. It postponed that kingdom program. God's not dealing with a kingdom. He's dealing with a body. We must needs understand that. And that people is Israel. It's not you and I. We was never considered thy people. We was aliens. We was strangers. Now God is going to deliver the nation Israel. What is the nation Israel over here? And the delivering of Israel is a very important event here. And the Antichrist in the middle of the week persecutes Israel. Israel flees into the wilderness in the first and last half, and from there they will be delivered. Okay? They're not going to be worrying about anything else that's going to come down on them. You talking about a knee on the neck? This is going to be hard for Israel because that's what the Antichrist is going to do. Okay? He's going to crank down on them. And when he comes back, we're going to see some things. He come down, he's going to come down on Israel like never have ever happened before. Israel's been punished in the past, ain't they? They've been persecuted, you know, and all that stuff all through this time. And the Antichrist in the middle of week here, Revelations chapter 12. You still there? Was you ever there? I mentioned that, but maybe you didn't go there. Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12, verse 6. We're talking about the Israel, the little flock, the little remnant fleeing over here. Verse 6, and the woman, that's Israel, fled into the wilderness. This is the middle of the week, guys. And where she hath a place prepared of God, like Moab and Edom, that's what we looked at, right? That they shall feed her there 1,260 days. So she's there the last half of the week. And she is going to be fed and taken care of. Verse 14, and the woman, and to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, unto her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and a half a time. That's how many years?
Three and a half years.
From the face of the who? The Lord's going to preserve that remnant. The Lord's going to take care of that remnant like He's always has throughout the Bible. That's why we as Bible believers has preserved the Word of God down through since the originals. Now you and I today do not have the original Word of God. What did Moses do with the original Ten Commandments? And then what happened? He rewrote them, didn't he? Okay. So you got copies of copies and copies, and the body of Christ, the body of Christ, has preserved the Word of God, okay, in the English language known as the King James Bible, and that's very, very important to us. Yeah, I'm American, but you do speak what? English, okay? That's why we have a Bible. You need to preserve the body of Christ. The remnant of the body of believers has preserved this. In other words, they go out in the first half of the week, that's 3.5 years, and they're protected in the wilderness from Satan, and they fed and nourished them. When you read about the wilderness feeding of Israel in the tribulation period, you're reading something of great interest in the Old Testament. And the subject of the Old Testament prophecy. Hosea chapter 2. Hosea chapter 2. We'll go through some of these. Hosea chapter 2, verse 14. Hosea is right after Daniel. And get Jeremiah chapter 52, will you? Hosea chapter 2, verse 14. Hosea chapter 2, verse 14. Therefore, behold, I will lure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her. And I will give her her vineyard from hence, and the valley of Achor from a door of hope, and she shall sing there as the days of her youth, as the day when she camped out of the land of what? Came out of, okay, you see that? They're going to be out there in the wilderness. For them, the wilderness, just like back in the book of what? Exodus. And I've always said this, and I believe this, when they came out of Egypt, came out of that bondage, came out of that 400 years of oppression, came out, and they came going into that promised land, okay? And God had, He fed them, didn't He? He said, I'll bore you, I'll take you on with eagle's wings. Just let me take care of you. You're my son. He fed them. They cried, didn't they? We don't want bread no more. We want meat. Quail was there. You know, he took care of them. That's a dress rehearsal. What happened there is going to happen right over there. It's not happening now. Now, what wilderness are you running to today that God's going to feed you? God tells me if I don't work, I don't eat. If I don't take care of my family, I'm worse than an infidel. You need to prepare yourself, right? I think this year we're getting a half a cow. We're going to prepare ourselves. But anyway, I'm going to move on. We might be feeding a half the century, half the country here. But anyway, he says, when we read Exodus, you're reading a typical of the second coming of Christ. Typology. And that details of God is going to deal with Israel in the tribulation in the wilderness, and you get it out of the book of Exodus. Listen, if the nation Israel had the oldest book of your Bible that was ever written, Job, in their possession for 400 years and learning there's a Redeemer coming and singing Job and looking at Job and seeing the patience of Job, would you not think that they would take the book of Exodus, Moses' writings? Now, who was Moses according to Israel? The lawgiver. They followed Moses, didn't they? Even Lord Jesus Christ, when He walked this earth, He said, what did Moses tell you to do? But God through Jesus Christ today, He don't tell you to follow Moses. He tells you to follow Paul. As I follow Christ, he says. Paul is the grace giver. And the book of Exodus is not old history, just sitting written down in the past. It's a living revelation about the future and the types of the second coming of Jesus Christ. That's why we have the living word, don't we? How did they feed them in the wilderness? He fed them with what? Manna. You know how he will feed them in the wilderness in Revelation chapter 12 and verse and Hosea, just like he did in Exodus. Today I made pancakes. Last week I made pancakes, and it wasn't the greatest. This week I had a little vanilla extracts and a little vegetable oil, and it kind of puffed it up a little more, and it was just a little bit better, you know. When we try to duplicate manna, this is angel food, guys, what they're going to eat. You know, we can't duplicate that. You know, but they're going to be fed with manna, just like that. Micah chapter 7, I told you to go to Jeremiah chapter 50, but I'll read you Micah chapter 7 right quick. Micah chapter 7, verse 14 says, feed thy people with thy rod, the flock of thine heritage, which dwell solitary in the wood in the midst of Carmel. Let them feed in Basan and Gilead as in the days of old. And they will know where to go and how to get there and what to get and where the provisions are going to be. You with me? They're going to have the books. They're going to have the book. And when they come over here in Hebrews to Revelation, they're going to understand what God is going to do for them. Now, how many times have we heard people say, and we probably said ourselves, God's going to provide for us? You know? And in your mind, in your spirit, you know that to be true. In a sense, right? But how does God provide for you today? We get nourishing out of this. You know, well, we read last week about Satan taking Jesus Christ upon that pinnacle and offering him the kingdoms of the world and said, turn this bread and the stone into bread. He said, man should not live out every bread of a mouth, but what? Out word. Okay? This is where we get fed. And if you can understand getting fed out of the Word of God, right, divide it, and it gets down in your doctrine, and it starts changing you. Your appetite changes. You ever notice that? No? Okay. That's me. But anyway, Jeremiah chapter 50. Jeremiah chapter 50. Jeremiah chapter 50. We'll try to get down through this right quick. Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 19. And I will bring Israel again to his inhabitation, and he shall feed on Carmel and Basan, and his soul shall be satisfied upon the Mount Ephraim and Gilead. Didn't we just read that? Did I just read that to you in Micah? What Micah said is going to happen? So here's time and time again, where are you going to go, Israel? Oh, I'm going down to Five Guys and Burgers and Fries. I'm going to Cracker Barrel. No, you're not. You're going to go to Carmel and Basan and satisfied upon the Mount of Ephraim and Gilead. That's where you're going to go. You're going to go to Edom and Moab, and you're going to be fed there. In the midst of all that turmoil around you, you're going to go there and get fed. In those days and in that time, saith the Lord, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for, but none, and the sins of Judah, and they shall not be found, for I will pardon them whom I reserve. That is the second coming of Jesus Christ over here. What's he going to do? Pardon. He reserved. Okay? What do you know about pardons? Can it be? I mean, we have people that gets pardoned every day. My wife pardons me all the time for not. But there is the Antichrist, the tribulation, and the king of Assyria, and so forth going there. Verse 17 of chapter 50. Go back a couple verses. Israel is a scattered what? Where is that at? Are they together today? The lions have driven him away. First the king of Assyria had devoured him, and the last this Nebuchadnezzar king of Babylon had broken his what? Nebuchadnezzar has broken their bones. Nebuchadnezzar has a vision of that image, and that's what we started out at Israel. It started as a head of gold down to toes. Okay? And we live from time Nebuchadnezzar way over here, all the way over here, we're in the times of the Gentiles. Even in the dispensation of grace, we're in the times of the Gentiles. You can't forget about that. And what has they done to Israel? Is Israel a nation today? Not the nation that God talked about, but they're going to be. And persecution, God takes them out into the wilderness, feeds them and takes care of them, and from thence he delivers them. Now, chapter 11 was pretty tough, wasn't it? But one thing you got to realize this, the point in chapter 11 that we looked at, the point, is that those that are wise shall understand in that day. You with me? If you get anything out of Daniel chapter 11, and next week we're going to start in Daniel chapter 12, but if you get anything out of those that are wise over here in this tribulation period, okay, wrath is supposed to pour out over here in this tribulation, those that are wise, that's not you and I. We're not in this tribulation period, this wrath that's going to be poured out, the times of Jacob trouble that was appointed, that was unto whose people? Thy people, Israel, okay? There are going to be some wise people over here that's going to take these books, Hebrews through Revelation, just like you have Hebrews through Revelation right here, okay? And they're going to understand the times that they're in. In contrast, and in closing, you and I today, we have books for us. Genesis through Malachi, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts, Hebrews through Revelation. Is that your whole Bible laid out there? There's some books missing. Do you know what they are by chance? Okay. Okay. This is all for us. For our learning. We can learn. That's what we're doing. That's what we Bible studies. That's what we understand the Word of God. We're not afraid to teach the whole Bible. You know, some people stays in, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John for 150 years. And then there's some stays in Paul's epistles and they won't teach nothing else. That type of thing. But we teach the whole Bible. And it's for us. But there's some books to us, primary to us, that we can understand and we become wise, not in our own conceit, lest blindness has happened. You can blind yourself with knowledge. You know that? I watch people, and what's that old term? But I'm going to say they're dumber than a box of rocks because they're very smart people. They're too smart for the britches. That's what I'm trying to say, for their own good. You ever notice people like that? Yeah. But we have books today that is written, and we have the whole canon of scriptures, okay, that's written to right here, Romans through Philemon, that tells us what God is doing in a dispensation of grace, not what He's doing in the prophetic program that everybody wants to put you in. But we have the dispensation of grace of God today to understand what God is doing and what a difference does it make. I said this once, I'll say it 1,000 times. I'll probably spend the rest of my life in Paul's epistles trying to understand what God is doing. But with that being said, I know what it's not. Okay? I don't know it all, don't claim to know it all, but it's in the Word of God. Okay? And God wants us, our eyes of understanding be enlightened. And when your eyes of understanding be enlightened, guess what happens? It makes a difference in your doctrine. It makes a difference in your decisions you make. You don't go around all scared and puffed up. Listen, Friday, you know social media will drive you nuts. And I'm getting tore all to pieces sometime about this, you know, this political stuff. I know where I stand. And I'd love nothing more to share what it is. But, you know, there's two things people say you don't talk about, right? Religion and politics. Well, that's the two things people need to know, okay? Religion is bondage. You don't want bondage. And politics is something that can change your life here on this earth. But the main thing is, if you haven't trust Christ Jesus died for your sin and buried rose again, you need to do so today. Because you don't have a chance. You can wake up dead tomorrow. No. I post that sometimes. I still woke up dead, not dead again today, that type of thing. You know, you don't want to die unsaved. We all going to die, whether you're 95 or 5, 8 to 80, blind, lame, or crazy. You know, that type of thing. We're going to die. If we get called out of here in the next 15 minutes by Christ, you know your body's still going to die? You know you're going to die? So this body's going to die. You don't want to die that second death. That second death is cast in a lake of fire where you're going to burn forever. Forever. Lord, thank you for the day. Thank you for the things given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Once again, you can visit us at www.dispensationalbiblechurch.org. If you want to donate to our ministry, there's a donate button there. We appreciate everything you do. We'd like to hear from you, whether it's through text or email, or you can call me if you want to. If I'm available, I'll definitely give you a call back. But once again, we'll see you next week at 10 o'clock. Okay? Love you in the Lord.